You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, if not, we'll go to the scripture reading. Zechariah 5. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said to me, "What seest thou?" And I answered, "I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, "This is a curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof." Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, "Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, "Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah." And he said, "This is wickedness." And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, "Whither do these bear the ephah?" And he said unto me, "To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base." And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
All right. Well, it's good to see you again. And boy, the time goes quickly. And Reuben's on his way back down to College Station. And we'll have a time there also, have a bit of a break. Right on the coast there. It'd be nice to smell the sultry air. So that's one thing I have to admit I miss here in Oklahoma, not having that seawater. And so we're looking forward to putting our tootsies in the water and walking along the coast there and enjoying that. Maybe even going out to a restaurant and getting some fish meals or something like that, which I really enjoy. Lovely. So let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time, Lord, we've got together. We pray as we open the scriptures, you would help us to understand, Lord, all the tremendous truths that we find there. And Lord, though we're looking at a controversial issue, Lord, there is nonetheless instruction here, understanding from the scriptures. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. Now, what I want to do is just preface this with a few remarks about the scriptures concerning the unseen world. And let's face it, we're Johnny come latelys as human beings, right? We are Johnny come latelys. There's been a creation long before human beings. And so therefore we are finding ourselves perhaps in the midst of a far greater creation that we don't necessarily see with our ophthalmos. We don't see them with the ophthalmoi, but we do perceive them, and it is possible at times that we could see a manifestation of that world as that world comes to us in the form of angels. Have a look at Daniel chapter 9 and begin reading around about verse 20. Daniel 9, verse 20. "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel." So Daniel's a great man, right? But he had sin. Israel certainly had sin as a nation. And he, that is Daniel, was in the habit of confessing. And we don't confess to man, we confess to God. "And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, and for the holy mountain of my God." The holy mountain of my God. Another very interesting thing about God is that he can, at times, manifest himself in places in ways which are striking, very, very striking. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man, now notice how it's referred, the man, this is Daniel 9, verse 21, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. Isn't it interesting, the metaphor of flying, flying swiftly. Now, it doesn't mean to say he's got wings. It just means that he's moving through the air and he's coming quickly. Touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me. So this is another fascinating thing about the angels. They can come as a man and they can talk. We can find out other passages where you can see that they can eat. And said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So what I get from this, that the other realm, the realm in which the angels moved that naturally and where they existed prior to our creation, they in some sense existed in ways which are similar to us. Not the same. I'm not saying the same. But in some sense, similar. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So he is coming, that is, the angel is coming, Gabriel, with knowledge of Daniel, knowing his place and how he's esteemed before God. He understands all these things. He's coming with a certain amount of understanding. Now, if you go across to the 10th chapter, because I just want to trace this angel. I think it's interesting to see this. This is in the 10th chapter of Daniel, and verse 10. I'm trying to get this thing working. Okay, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. You betcha. I would be trembling too. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. It's interesting to think about how the words were heard. And in what way Gabriel heard them or was communicated about these words. Now, it's my own belief about this is that God heard them and then communicated them to Gabriel, and that's how he got informed. But it's not said here, right? Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. It's 21 days. Here is another being which is referred to here as the prince of the kingdom of Persia. But, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Okay, so here is now a recognition that Michael is not the only one. He's one of the chief princes. There's ranks of these beings. Came to help me. Gabriel needed help. Don't you find that interesting? Here he is. He's an angel. He's sent by God. And he needs help. Contemplate that for a second, right? And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Okay, what's going on here? Well, we're getting a vision of the unseen world. That there is battles going on. There are battles going on amongst these angelic beings. That's what's going on here. Battles. And it's not always such that the battle goes on the good side. For 21 days, there was this battle, and Gabriel needed help. And it was only that Michael came that this thing was done on the right side, not the bad side. Battles are going on. We get a vision of this. I find this fascinating. Now, I'm telling you now, I mean, the lid has been lifted off this UFO thing now. It's well and truly lifted. And we could spend Sunday after Sunday after Sunday looking at experiences. We're not going to do that. We're going to stop. But I want to just pick out a few things that I think are remarkable about the experiences of people. Now, the first experience of people come from a Christian man, a minister. I picked him out because he is a minister. He's a Church of England minister. And he was ministering in Papua New Guinea and in a place called Bwanai, right on the northeastern coast of Papua New Guinea. And in those days, I mean, that place was rough, man, I'm telling you. That's a rough place. You took some of the tribes there were cannibals, right? No, you don't mess with these people. You better be prayed up good. Because, man, there's a real job there. And so some of these pictures I've given references for you, I got these. But the important thing here is to notice the time, the timing. June 1959. Now just think about the technology that we have now. Number one, we do not have craft flying around made by man that at least is obvious, that are silent and just can sit there for 4 hours. No, that doesn't happen. We don't have that technology. That doesn't happen. We don't have technology that just does 90 degree turns instantaneously, is here and then is gone in a fraction of a second. No, we don't have that technology. 1959. I was born 1958, May 20. This is June. And the events around about 26 and 27 June. Right? So, you know, basically 1 year, 1 month after I was born, this is going on. And it'd be interesting to know what the site was like. And there's Bwanai Mission, the red blob there. That's where it is. That's the location of this. This is Father William Gill. Called No Man Father, which is on the earth. But that's the name that they commonly use. And this guy is, in my opinion, totally genuine. Totally genuine. Around about this time, in June, around that time, there were 60 to 70 or so sightings of UFOs. So this was not something... one sighting and that's it. No, this is one part of a big mainline sequence of events that were going on in that area. And he saw a light that was distant. He said that it was near, it was, as far as visually, it was near Venus in the sky. And then it got brighter and brighter and came down by a very large mountain nearby. And what happened was, it got closer and closer so that it was something like 300, 500 feet away. Two main sightings. One was on a Friday, and then the next one, following night, just as it's starting to get dusk. Just getting dark. And this thing came down, and in his own words, you can read it, I've got the links here, you can read it, or else you can watch an interview of him. And basically what happened was this thing came down very low to the ground, and then there were four personages that came on top of this thing, this craft. Silent, he's emphatic. No noise, absolutely no noise. And it's really interesting to watch him describe it, because in his own words he says, can you imagine this? Can you imagine that you look at this thing and it's right in front of you, no noise, and it's just floating there? Now, 1959. How are you going to understand this? Now, he's a minister, and he was totally skeptical. He said, "Oh no, this is an American invention. You know, America was seen as the place of all the, you know, industry and all of the technology." And so he said, "No, this is just an American invention." But after this close encounter, he changed his mind. Then the next night, the thing came again. Now, in the midst of this, what he did was, this is 4 hours at a time. We're not talking about, and it went. No. The thing came and stayed there for 4 hours. So this time, the four individuals come up, and so he waved. And the thing, one of them waved back. And then a guy came, one of the students at the school, the mission, came with a flashlight. Of course, down under we call it a torch. And the torch flashed it side by side. When he flashed it side by side, the craft followed it like this. Did a little wobble with the torch. And this thing then went off. Please, the link is in here. You've got to listen to it. There's no way in the wide world I'm going to call this guy a liar. First of all, he does not want to believe in this stuff. He's a Christian missionary, a believer in Christ, and he really doesn't know what to do with this. How is this going to fit in with his worldview? And generally speaking, not a good look, you know? So this is one of the pictures that is described by him of the craft. And he documented what he saw and wrote this out. And I got this from the Black Vault. And so this is Flying Saucers Over Papua, a report on Papuan unidentified flying objects. And this is Crutwell, one of his friends who wrote this up. And also his documentation is here. Okay, altogether there were 38 witnesses, of whom 25 signed the report. In other words, 25 of them said, "Yep, I saw it, and this is what that's exactly correct." So we're not talking about one guy that saw it and he's a little bit crazed, had too much whiskey that night, or got into the communion wine. No, not at all. Not the case. Okay, very, very careful notes. And giving you the timeline, this is Gill's own picture, right? Okay, that's what he sketched out. What will you do with this? He said that when it finally disappeared, it was just a matter of a couple of seconds and it was gone. It was a pinprick in the horizon. How are you going to describe this in the context of our machinery, our technology, and then put it back to 1959. No, you can't do it. Okay, that's, I think, one of the strongest. There's an enlargement of his picture. He said there were these blue lights that went up from it, and that it was encased in sort of like a yellow, golden aura around about it, like it had light going on it. He said interesting things. He said that in his original report, he said that these beings were men. Men. Interesting, right? The other one that I want you to look at, and the reason why I picked this one out, is because it goes very well with what we find Gabriel, the description of Gabriel himself about wars going on amongst them. And this has to do with April 14th, 1561. Cheryl, that's your question last time, 1561, okay? Now, the date here is a little bit confusing. Either it's April 14th or it's April 4th. I've been reading the documentation. There seems to be some confusion about when the events happened. I'm pretty sure this is when this particular poster was made. So what they used to do in those days is that there were certain people, artists, who had a craft, And their craft was being able to use woodcuts, and they made woodcuts, and from this and ink, they would make posters, and they'd put these in prominent places around the town. And I'm pretty sure what happened is this was published in the 14th, but the actual event, I think, happened on April 4th. And the guy who put this together is Hans Glaeser. Okay? And in the Zurich main library, you can view this. And the account is that early in the morning, the people of Nuremberg, this is Nuremberg, 1561, came out and beheld a war going on in the skies. And the description of the objects were spheres, cylinders, and then at some stage, some great long sword-like object came out as well. Right? And they fell to the ground. I don't have all the answers. I've only got the report. But it is an amazing thing. This is the English translated out of the German right here in the morning of April 14, 1561 at daybreak between 4 and 5 a.m. a dreadful apparition occurred on the sun. And you can read it through. Okay. War above the town and things fell to the ground smoking, burning up. Now, the National Press Club has had a series of disclosure meetings about UFOs. And this one happened April 29, May 3rd, 2013. Okay. And I've got the link here, you can look at it. But the disclosure meeting was organized, and a whole lot of different people came, including there was people, civilians there, not only people involved with the forces. One of these days I'll get this right. And very interesting topic came up concerning the UFOs around March 1967. And this had to do with UFOs appearing around where the nuclear Minuteman missiles were kept. And it's very frightening stuff. These people were involved, these Captain Robert Sellers. For example, he's the first speaker, and these people were sworn in and they gave their testimony. And the first guy's talking about this Malmstrom Air Force Base event, where there were UFOs that came over where these Minuteman missiles were kept, and the people, guards up top who were guarding the entrance, saw these things, and they just about lost their mind, and they got on the phones and called to the various personnel below ground that were involved with taking care of the Minuteman missiles, and said, there's a UFO up here buzzing us. And then what happened was, one by one, the missiles went offline. So in those days, during the time of the Cold War, the idea was that these missiles were to be ready to go, right? As soon as the president hit the button, they're supposed to fly, right? So they had to be ready to go at any time. But 10 of them went offline. 10 of them went offline. And this was all documented at this meeting. These various people, now getting pretty old, but at the time they were there and gave their testimony of what happened. So I think this is kind of interesting, don't you? This is kind of interesting. What is going on? Well, I believe this is nothing new, that these beings have been coming and going within the realm of the earth for some time. And there are aerial phenomena associated. Now, if you just go across now to the book of Zechariah, I want to just show you something here to show you that God can do some very unusual things with aerial type phenomena. and he can use them as ways of judging Israel, for example. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1. Then I turn and lift up mine eyes. So Zechariah is involved with this whole business of getting Israel to repent and to get the temple built. And it says this in verse 1, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. No, this is not a cinnamon roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length. Now look at this, look at the length. The length thereof is 20 cubits. 20 of these things, right? And the breadth thereof, 10 cubits. Flying roll. Not small. It's not super massive, but it's not small either. Right? 20 cubits, look at the size of these things. And 10 cubits, the breadth. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth. Okay, now this is a particular sin that's being involved here. Shall be cut off as on this side, according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side, according to it. It will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. Man, God is going to use unusual means to bring particular judgment. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, saying something is so, by the name of God, and it's not so. Lying and swearing that the lie is true. And it shall remain in the midst of the house. Whoa! It's going to remain there. It comes into the house, and then it remains there, man. And shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. The stones go. Oh, boy. Boy, the Bible's wild, don't you think? The Bible, you know. Reuben and I have been watching, Star Trek: The Next Generation, a couple of episodes, and that's fairly wild. But this is pretty wild, don't you think? Then the angel that talked with me, the angel is talking to Zechariah. And said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. Something else is going forth. Now you can say, well, this flying roll is completely identified. No, it's not identified. Come on. Look what it does. It just goes into the midst of the house and stays there until the whole thing's consumed. Well, does it consume itself? No, of course not. It's going to remain. It goes in there, consumes the whole house, then goes to the next one. What is it? Well, I'd say to some degree it's not really identified. It's flying. It's a UFO. It's not the same as the UFOs we see or hear about. Then it says this in verse 6, and I said, what is it? That's my question. And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. Now, ephah is just like a measure. And usually it would be in like a basket. You know, you'd have an ephah, 10 omers. Roughly, I think, I'm guessing, 5 gallons worth. So it's like a basket and it holds a measure. This is an ephah that goeth forth, he said. Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. This is their resemblance. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Why lead? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Lead. And it says, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So in the midst of this thing, this basket, this measure, is a woman. And he said, this is wickedness. This is not politically correct. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Mouth of this basket, whatever that thing is, that container. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. Cast this lead thing in there, out in the mouth, and then out comes two women. And the wind was in their wings. Oh, wait, now they've got wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar. So one of the things about the coming age is that Babylon has to be rebuilt. And you might say, well, on what basis is it built? It's built on the basis of this thing. And it's got some bad stuff to it, because it says, this is wickedness. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Oh, man. So it looks like we've got an alien base going on in the land of Shinar. And there, we know from prophecy, Babylon will be rebuilt. It's going to happen. Now, remember we read also in the book of Revelation how that there's going to be out of the river Euphrates, beings are going to come out of there. Here is one of those areas of the world where there must be subterranean regions. We have the angels who left their own bodies and took on human-like bodies. Then they made offspring, which were giants, the Nephilim. And very clearly that the genetics have been changed. It therefore seems reasonable for me to suppose that there is a movement between various heavenly realms and the earth. There's some sort of interdimensional movement, and that the angels are interested in the earth with all sorts of experiments going on in the earth, and that not all the angels are on the same side, that they do war. Have we got evidence? Some evidence? Yes, we have. We've got some evidence of it going on in history. And not so long ago. I think this is remarkable. Now, there is one more little talk I'd like to give, but maybe I'm giving too much time to these UFOs. But there is one more talk that you really need to be informed about. And that is, what about all of this business to do with animals being mutilated? And there is a UFO connection there. Right? There is. What about those? This unholy harvest going on. And what about these? Have you seen the crop circles? What about that? There's some weird stuff, man. It is weird. But that unusual, what I'll call weird, is found to some degree in the scriptures of the Bible. Right? They're there. They're these things. And what I think we need to do is, whenever we come across a discussion about UFOs, I think it's a wrong attitude to take to sort of smirk and laugh it off. If that's going to be your reaction, I think that's the wrong reaction. What you need to do is you need to be able to give people biblical alternatives for what's going on. Right? Now, there's a guy called Stephen Greer, and he is massively influential, in my opinion. He's done a lot of good things, but I think he is also deceived on this. And he is taking the line that these are beings from another planet, and that they are good, and that these beings are good. These are good beings. There are some that are good. I would agree. There are some that are good, but man, there are some who are not good. They are against us, and they are involved with plans and purposes which are against God. God will judge them like He's going to judge all of His creation, including those miscreant angels. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for for this time we've had together, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we, as we study the Scriptures, we would be informed more and more and have clearer ideas about all that we see, all that the creation we see in the world around us. And, Lord, that when the parts of the creation that are not commonly seen by us, Lord, that we would have an informed mind and that we could help others as we go through this tremendous battle that's before us, this warfare, that we would be good soldiers, well-equipped, ready to fight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.